But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. To tell us about that is our brother William Geisinger from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Bill.
Thank you, Brother Luke. A little over a year ago, I was assigned this subject as part of a symposium at another convention, which some of you may recall. Since then, I have given the subject further study and consideration. I've discussed it with various brethren, endeavoring to understand the reasoning behind the somewhat differing points of view held in sincerity by some of the brethren. As a result of this, my basic understanding of the earthquake of Elijah's vision is the same as I previously presented, namely that it represents revolution occurring as part of the time of trouble, and that the most severe portion and final climax of it are yet in the future. However, there are some additional thoughts that have come to my attention relative to the subject to which I previously did not give sufficient consideration, and which I believe help to complete the picture. And these I will endeavor to include in the discussion this evening. 1 Kings 19:11-12. And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. The three parts mentioned here, the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, are a symbolic description of the inauguration of the kingdom with a time of trouble. Brother Coleman has mentioned Mount Horeb pictures the kingdom. In our Bible studies, we've learned that mountains generally represent kingdoms. Elijah pictures the church in the flesh. And so we have the setting for the vision. The vision takes place after the Lord returns to set up his kingdom. And the wind, the earthquake, and the fire are various aspects of the time of trouble with which the kingdom is inaugurated. Brother Coleman has already explained that the wind pictures war. Brother Coleman identified it as World War I. The earthquake, we believe, pictures revolution. The definition of an earthquake, as we find it in the dictionary, is a shaking or a trembling of the ground produced by various causes. Understanding what an earthquake is, we believe it is a very good symbol of revolution. For a revolution is defined as a sudden change in the government of a nation, of a country. The overthrow of one form of government and the setting up of another. Or a revolution can also be any sudden change in ideas, such as we speak of the Industrial Revolution. Now, during the past 40-some years, there have been many governments overthrown and replaced by others. These events have been a part of the time of trouble and have been preparatory to the final overthrow of all present governments to give way to the kingdom. The time of trouble has not been just one continuous event, but rather a series of events taking place in spasms, as the Apostle Paul foretold in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This is in harmony with Elijah's vision, in which the various aspects of the trouble are represented as not all beginning at the same time, First the wind, then the earthquake, and then the fire. Having already seen that the wind began with the end of the Gentile times in 1914, we must look for the fulfillment of the earthquake or the revolution picture sometime after that day. Now, in reading the text of Elijah's vision, it specifies what the wind accomplished. It says the wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks. Now, this helps us to identify the wind. But when we come to the earthquake, it doesn't tell us specifically what the earthquake did. It merely says that there was an earthquake and the Lord was not in the earthquake. Therefore, we believe we are justified in considering as a partial fulfillment of the earthquake picture any revolution making up a part of the time of trouble occurring after the beginning of the wind feature in 1914. At the same time, we believe it is also important to recognize that there are other scriptures than the one we're considering this evening which are more specific than this one, and which speak of an earthquake in connection with events which are still in the future. But first, let us consider what has already taken place and is taking place at the present time. In 1917, there was a revolution in Russia. In 1918, there were revolutions in Germany, Bulgaria, Austria, and Turkey. In 1921, there was an uprising in Spanish Morocco. Also in 1921, the fascist movement began in Italy. In 1922, Mussolini seized control of the Italian government. In 1924, socialists were elected to power in France. In 1925, there was a rebellion in French Morocco. In the 1930s, Hitler and National Socialism took over Germany and much of Europe. In 1930, there was also a social revolution in Germany. In 1931, there was a revolution in Spain. Then there was followed the years of World War II, and in 1945, socialist governments were elected in England and in Austria. In 1946, there was civil war in Greece. More recently, we have observed the French government has fallen and changed hands numerous times. In recent years, there have been other revolts, revolutions in Hungary, Belgian Congo, Algeria, South Africa, Cuba, Laos, China, and just in the past few weeks, Syria. In addition to these revolutions involving government, there have been other kinds of rebellions, such as labor rebelling against capital, and the various oppressed classes of people rising up and demanding what they consider to be their rights. I'm sure we can recognize these events as all being a part of the time of trouble. And being revolutionary in nature, we believe that in a general sense, they are pictured by the earthquake. While these events have been taking place, we have seen the Lord's favor more and more returning to natural Israel. Many of the Jews have been gathered to their own land, and they have been established as a nation. One of the prophecies speaking of the regathering of Israel is the one concerning the Valley of Dry Bones that we find in Ezekiel 37. And in the seventh verse, that prophecy, we read, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." Now we notice the coming together of the bones was with a shaking. And in checking the concordance, we find that this word shaking is translated from the same Hebrew word as in our text is translated earthquake. So the shaking is also an earthquake. As we observe the events that have accompanied these regathering of the Jews to Israel and their being reestablished as a nation, we observe that much of this persecution of the Jews in Europe has been by revolutionary forces, and that these have contributed to the migration of the Jews to Israel. And therefore, they have been gathered together with an earthquake, accompanied by an earthquake or a shaking. Still another passage of Scripture which speaks of a shaking is that found in Hebrews 12, verses 26 to 28. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now the apostle here is telling us that which remains after this shaking which he's talking about is only that which cannot be moved. In the 46th Psalm, we have another description of the time of trouble in symbolic language. And in connection with that, in the 5th verse, we read that concerning the church, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Now, if the church shall not be moved as a result of the events of the time of trouble, and the shaking will shake everything which cannot be moved, then one of the things that remains after the shaking is over is the church. One of the things which cannot be shaken. This implies to us that the church, while still in the flesh, is subject to some of the shaking, for they will not be subject to the shaking after they have passed to the other side of the veil. It also implies that some will possibly be shaken out of the church. As we have further borne out in the 91st Psalm, the 7th verse, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And haven't the experiences of the Lord's people since 1914 borne out the fact that many have been shaken out, but some still remain? Some cannot be shaken. And so they pass through the shaking, part of the earthquake, without being moved. However, not all of this shaking refers specifically to the church. In this text, the Apostle Paul is quoting from the prophet Haggai, the 2nd chapter, verses 6 and 7, where additional details are given. There we read, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Here the prophet says that the Lord will shake the heavens. The heavens here we understand to mean the civil and ecclesiastical ruling powers. These together constitute symbolic Babylon. Looking over the events that have already taken place, we see that they have been somewhat shaken, but certainly not to the extent as described in Hebrews, that only that which cannot be shaken shall remain. For we still see the ecclesiastical heavens and some of the ruling powers still remaining. So, evidently, the earthquake isn't all over. Therefore, we look for an even greater shaking to take place upon the heaven in the future. And in this connection, we would refer to Revelation 16, verses 16 to 20, where the setting is that of Armageddon. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Now in the 18th verse we read that here again is an earthquake, and it's a great earthquake that is greater than any that has preceded it, implying that there were other earthquakes preceding it. Here, the results of this earthquake are specifically stated that this earthquake will accomplish the overthrow of Babylon and the nations of the earth. This earthquake here mentioned, is brought on by the wind of the Elijah picture, as well as the lesser tremors, the lesser earthquakes which preceded it. In connection with this overthrow, we read that the great city was divided into three parts. That's in the 19th verse. These three parts, we believe, are elsewhere described as the dragon, picturing the civil powers, the beast, picturing the papacy, and the false prophet, picturing the Protestant system. These will have been somewhat united on a cooperative basis for their own mutual protection. But they will be divided by this earthquake, by this great revolution, and will fall. So here we have one scripture which speaks of an earthquake which is not yet fulfilled. Haggai's prophecy also speaks of the shaking of the earth. The earth is a symbol of organized society. In Isaiah 24, 19 and 20, we read of the shaking of the earth. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Now we have seen some of the shaking of the earth in the rising up of formerly oppressed classes of people, demanding their rights, demanding changes in the society set up. We expect to see this increase and this part of the revolution continue and grow until the present social structure will ultimately be removed to make way for the new heavens and the new earth spoken of by Peter in 2 Peter 3:13. The prophet Haggai also speaks of the shaking of the sea. The sea, we believe, pictures the lawless and anarchistic elements of society. Today, we see tendencies of this developing. We see things which are tending toward anarchy. We see the juvenile delinquency problem and the general condition of lawlessness in some of our large cities especially, and even growing more in the smaller and less congested areas. These, we believe, are elements of society which are tending toward anarchy even now. But we believe this, too, will grow and develop to an even greater extent, and perhaps our next speaker will deal somewhat with this, though we'll not go into it too much. But these, too, will be shaken and overturned to make way for the kingdom. And Haggai says that he will also shake the dry land. The dry land, we would understand, to picture the established aristocracy of wealth and social independence. That is, that class of people who has been financially independent, have been wealthy to the extent that they no longer need to consider how they're going to earn their living, how they're going to receive their support. They are well situated financially, and they don't need to be concerned about anything else. The shaking of this class has taken place in some places to some degree, but yet in other places we haven't seen it to a very great extent. In many parts of the world, we see that there are still the very rich and right alongside them the very poor. And this situation will have to change. This is one of the things that will have to be overturned and removed. And this, too, will be a part of the earthquake. We have a very graphic picture of this part of the overturning in the French Revolution, where there, too, we had a situation where there were the very rich and the very poor, and the situation was entirely overthrown in a revolution. Summing up, then, our thoughts on the earthquake, we would say that the earthquake pictures revolution, which takes place in the time of trouble. In a general sense, some of it has already taken place in the many revolutionary changes, both politically and otherwise, that have occurred since 1917. These have been paving the way for the climax, described in Revelation 16, which speaks of a greater earthquake than any preceding, and which will accomplish the overthrow of Babylon. This greater earthquake is still in the future. Eventually, the nations of the earth will be overthrown socially, politically, financially, and ecclesiastically. Thank you.